expect each of you to listen careful to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I'm Father Chad Arnold, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. Around the horn are the usual suspects. We've got Father Garrett Burns.
How we doing?
And we've got Father Drew Hoffman.
Hello.
And we are climbing mountains here in the Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati studio. Are you okay with that?
I mean, I have no critiques.
In the past, you have struggled with blesseds that are not from the diocese, so I don't know
this if you can totally be comfortable with this. Totally different thing because he's Italian. It's a totally different thing.
Italians are no competition for Americans.
So they just get a pass? Yeah.
I recorded something on Venerable Augustus Tolton the other day. So again, I'm getting this stuff thrown at me that I don't appreciate other dioceses. I do. I'm just saying, I think we need to consider no free ads. And sure. Yeah, it's going to be unpopular, but I'll be willing to stand in the gap and stand up for what I believe. So.
We can all get around Pier Giorgio Frassati. You know who loves Pier Giorgio Frassati? Catholic t-shirt company.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like,
nobody's on more t-shirts climbing a mountain.
Nobody. He is the king of merchandise. Like, he could be the patron saint of merchandising. But a little known fact about Pier Giorgio Frassati, he loved the 4th of July. It was one of his, I'm making that up completely.
Isn't his feast day around the 4th of July?
I think his feast day is on the 4th of July.
Get out.
You're joking right now.
I was definitely making that up.
I think you're right. Yeah.
We need to look that one up. Get Dr. Google on that.
Yeah, I was just screwing around.
That's
all. No, I'm pretty sure because we've always lamented that because we love, especially when we were young in seminary, love Pier Giorgio Frassati. He was kind of this like,
had all
very,
the shirts.
Yeah. He was this very relatable character of young and energetic and had some funny quotes and things like that. And with that, if he were to get canonized on that day, he'd have to get bumped, and Elizabeth of Portugal's already gotten bumped, and then you just got a whole mess, and then it's Maria Goretti on the 6th.
I definitely picked him just for the second topic. Had nothing to do with the... Nope,
he died on July 4th.
Get out!
1925, yeah.
He is the biggest fan of the 4th of July.
No, he died on that day.
I don't care.
So maybe he hates the 4th of July.
No, that's not how saints work. Days of death are rejoicing.
Pleased about how
I feel... I feel vindicated in every saint choice that has been made so far because I just feel like they are at this point stepping in and saying, nope, I want the podcast for this day.
Drew.
So, yeah. So try and stand in their way.
Don't turn this on me right now.
Well, apparently what I was just BSing, I'm going to hold as fact and true that he was a huge fan of 4th of July. Loved it.
Huge.
Which actually, that's got to be a true statement that he liked the date, 4th of July. We've associated something else with it in America, but that would be true. He's a big 4th of July fan. If that's the day he went before God in heaven, he's got to be a big 4th of July fan.
I'm here for it.
That's weird in other countries. They're just like, if they said 4th of July, they wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah, it's just a holiday.
Yeah, July 4th. Yeah, exactly. That's right. No one would ever say it. It's like, why are you saying 11th of June like that? Like, you're being weird.
That's a merchandising thing they're missing out on. Pier Giorgio Frassati fireworks. Ooh. I mean, I would buy those. I don't know what that
to the heights.
To the heights.
We're making money right now.
Just another side gig coming out of the podcast. What? Now I'm really blown away.
You're
by
a little
that.
Shook by all
I
this.
I am, man. I'm just gonna
that's kind pause of incredible.
And go pray for a little bit. This is my supernatural moment of the day of Pier Giorgio Frassati saying, "You think you're so smart, but yeah, actually, I am a big fan of July 4th." So how did you guys, I always spent the entire day supporting and praying to Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Your close
what
personal
did you
friend.
Guys do?
Yeah, we had, a mass at the parish, which is always great to start off that way. Plus you get to bump it back a little bit so you can sleep in and have mass in the morning.
Nice.
Always good. And then, yeah, I did some fireworks and stuff. I had always thought it's just like you might as well burn some money. It's just like, especially when you see how much, and it was a little more this year. And then it's just
crazy
gone.
What people spend on fireworks.
And it's just gone in seconds.
Yeah.
But I bought some for my nephews. They're pretty young. So just like smoke bombs and stuff like that. And then a few for a family's house where I went over to later. And I kind of got it maybe that it was like I was paying for their joy and their delight in a sense.
Yeah.
And so that's an investment I can get behind for $100. I didn't love it, but they loved it. And so that's worth it. So yeah, spend some time with my sister and her family and then over just some parishioner's house in the evening to fireworks and food and all that. So
nice.
I'm not a fireworks guy.
No?
Either. I count on one hand how many times I've bought them. I guess as a kid, I probably was. I'm sure that I was.
Oh, I loved it as a kid.
But I think even as a kid, I had the same experience of the fiscal.
We're accountant's sons.
That's exactly right, actually.
You might as well just burn the money, kids.
That's exactly. And I love going to a old Wranglers game when we were kids and the fireworks and the Royals and stuff like that. But yeah, particularly, this happened on Memorial Day too, that on holidays when my office is closed and other things are happening, my policy is I had the 11:45 mass. It was great. There's a bunch of people at 11:45 mass and I slept in too and I locked the doors and I had the day to myself because the rest. So like for me, 4th of July, social and things, seeing family and things like that, which particularly in the summer and as a college chaplain, I get to do a lot of like every day feels like I'm seeing people, I'm catching up, I'm doing all these types of things. So then this closed office holiday is a chance for no one else to be around and I can actually like be by myself a little bit without having to make kind of excuses and things like that. So I did yard work. I put down a bunch of mulch. I was taking out trashes. I was doing weed killing and weed eating around the place. I prepped RCIA for the year. I recorded
living
some
wild.
I recorded some podcasts. It was very much. Then I like listened to the fireworks before I went to bed.
So it was kind of more July 4th than 4th of July.
Yeah, that's a good distinction.
You're more Italian than American.
That's
is what
a
I'm
very
hearing.
Good distinction. And so, yeah, maybe not too exciting 4th of July guys. But you sound like a big 4th of July guy.
That was probably my favorite holiday as a kid. I loved 4th of July. And, you know, knowing
tough
that
look for the Lord's birth.
But, you know, it's been so secularized. 4th of July hasn't been. 4th of July is still pure
God
and
bless
holy.
America.
It is as God intended. I loved it. And just like Pier Giorgio Frassati, it's one of my favorite days. We always gather at the Arnold's. Got some farmland out in Kingman, so where you can blow off some good fireworks, and so we would always go out there. So I went out there, had a nice quiet morning, got up, prayed, did some spiritual reading. No one was in the house, which is unusual around here, so had a real nice that. Then went out to the farm. One of the newly ordained, Father Seth Arnold, is a relative of mine, so he celebrated Mass, and I can celebrate there for the family there, which we were talking afterwards. I don't know if you guys have this experience, but one of the, hard isn't the right word, but maybe not as most comfortable masses is like when you're doing those little small masses for family. Like I want them to ask that. So I don't misunderstand. Right? It's not that I don't want to do it or things that, but like, these are the people that have known me since I'm a kid. How do you preach to this? And it just feels a little bit, it's a good thing, but it also feels a little awkward. And Seth's like, yeah, I haven't been that nervous about preparing a homily in quite some time, just cause it's your whole family there. And
I do not preach to my family or even in small groups like that. I absolutely do not. If they know me well, it's, hey, we're going to take some time in silence today.
Meditate on the
You've
scriptures.
Heard everything that I have to say.
I think that's a good move. I definitely do, like when I do baptisms for friends, like I do a little homily when I'm doing most, but when I'm doing friends baptism, there's no homily in that.
People are also so close when you're doing the masses in like, they're just
in your
close.
Face
you have to move your knees for the communion line for everyone to pass through.
And then they also, it's very awkward. I don't know if your experience, they often forget the responses.
Yeah, but when it's in a really small group.
I had mass the other day just for somebody. And a couple people were there and they didn't remember the responses. Daily mass, have not missed mass in months and months and months and months. But when you're by yourself there, just a couple of people.
The
and
pressure
the
is
other
on.
Person's not as confident and stuff like that. Then
one word and the train is off the rails.
Yeah, if I can in those masses do ad orientem. I mean, I like ad orientem, but also it's just like, this is a little bit.
Just looking right at
him. I'm not
agreed.
Like 4 feet away from you. And
That whole mass, I think I had my eyes closed as I'm some meditative holy monk. That's not how I usually pray the mass, but I'm like, this is the only way I'm going to be able to pray this if I keep my eyes closed. So we had a great time out at the farm. My cousin, one of my cousins is a principal, and so he organized, we call it the Arnold Olympics for all the little kids. They have competitions and singing and then the fireworks, and it was great. I just love going out the farm. One year, we were talking earlier, I like silly sense of humor. Have you ever seen those, I don't know what you call them, rompers, onesies that they can sell at Target for 4th of July?
the heck?
I have not.
So it's like,
what
so
are you talking about?
It's a one piece outfit. I mean, it's a comedic thing, and it's a one piece outfit, shorts and shirt all in just one, but it's got like had American flag hot dogs and eagles and things. So I didn't this
so you
year,
wore yours or
I,
you?
I own one.
What?
Few years
you
back.
You own a USA romper? Is that what I just heard?
It's called a romp him okay. if a male is wearing it.
I like that.
I bought one a few years back to just take out to the farm. Again, silly, goofy family stuff. I will commit to a joke when the time arises. And so I buy this, I bring it home. You know, it's $20 at Walmart. It's not a big investment. I put it on and we'll say the shorts on this outfit, I think would be considered fashionable length right now, but they're way shorter than anything I normally or anyone in my family wears. I mean, I've got pretty good gams, but there was still there was a lot of flesh showing.
Oh boy.
And so the one time I wore it out to the farm just as a joke for 4th of July, I filled my car up with gas the night before because it was one of those things, once I get in the car, I am not stepping into public until I get out of the farm. Yeah, so I got a lot of questions where my rompim was, but it's only been worn once in my life.
Boy, oh boy.
You got to keep people guessing. You know?
Got to keep people guessing, you know. You never know. And it was really cool driving back from Kingman. So I'm coming back at night, and I've got the top off my car, and all of those Western Sedgwick County towns just blowing fireworks. So everywhere you look, up out of the roof and outside. So I was on Kellogg or 400. I just put cruise at like 50 and put some Ray Charles on and just kind of cruise back to Wichita enjoying the fireworks. And so it was a great night.
That's awesome.
I continue, like Pier Giorgio Frassadio, to love the 4th of July. Him and I are tight.
Simply incredible.
We are alike in so many ways. We like mountains. We like 4th of July. We are alike in so many ways.
Yeah, many, many, many ways.
Et cetera,
I can't wait for the new shirt to come out, Pure Georgia Frassati, and like an eagle, and all of this. It's red, white, and blue, and it's...
When they make the Pierre Giorgio Frassati romp him, I will be the first one in line to own that. Have you guys ever been out to the Scheibe Classic?
I've never.
Never been. Yeah, it's always like, yeah, I want to make it happen this year, and then stuff comes up or whatever, but yeah, it'd be fun.
For those that are not aware, there's a priest of the diocese, Father Jim Scheibe, and his family, huge baseball family and a big family. And so they're out in the country and they built a baseball diamond in their backyard.
A legit baseball.
Yeah. I mean, it's got it's got a food stand. It's got bleachers. Yeah. And every 4th of July, they have a baseball game called the Scheibe Classic, and they invite in, and a lot of guys go down for it. A lot of the priests and some of the seminarians I know go down to it. Jesus Banuelos was joking. He's got to channel his inner Mexican because he was not a guy that ever played baseball, but he's like, it's part of my culture. I'm just going to show up and know how to pitch a 90-mile-an-hour fastball like off the start. One of the pictures I want, Father Nick Jurgenmeier always goes down there, and Father Nick is another one who enjoys a good, goofy joke. And apparently one year he shows up and he'd bought like a 1920 style Yankees uniform and it was like solid polyester and 108 degrees out there, but another man who commits to a joke and he would not change out of it. And so I don't know if he ever actually even played. He's just walking around in a 1920s.
Like the Field of Dreams.
Exactly. That's funny. Exactly. And that's the image of, that's the type of humor I like and the type of 4th of July celebration I want to be a part of. All of this is fun. The celebration of the holiday, the goofy jokes, all of that. There's a sort of enthusiasm and a sort of fun that's a good thing. And that's really why I chose Pier Giorgio Frassati for the sponsor. I like that. Sponsor of the podcast. Is because he was a man of great joy. He was a man of great enthusiasm. And that's kind of the topic I want to dig into today, is the idea of enthusiasm as a discernment tool. And I don't know if that's just kind of... me, I don't know if a lot of other people point towards enthusiasm as a way of discerning, but if you look at the Greek etymology of enthusiasm, I've seen it translated as either meaning God within or breath of the spirit. And the idea that our enthusiasms can point to how the Lord has formed our heart, and not just enthusiasm in the sense like sometimes it gets thrown around like, oh, I like this, I'm enthusiastic, but an enthusiasm that animates us, that fills us with hope, that makes us want to get out of the bed in the morning. And so if we pay attention to what those pieces of our heart are, I think that can be a useful discernment tool. I know for me, one of those moments is, as you guys both had the experience, you know, teaching Totus Tuus, I found that the idea of sharing the gospel message, even in that kind of silly way that we do it to us, was something that was exciting to me, that I found a natural enthusiasm that when I did that, yes, I want to do that more. That gives me life. And that in understanding that, that also helped point me and understand my own vocation in light of that enthusiasm. So I don't know if you guys ever experienced any sort of discernment along those lines as far as if you used enthusiasm, if that was a point that either consciously or unconsciously was kind of pointing you in a particular direction.
Yeah, I love using this actually when I'm working with guys that are discerning, because it was definitely a part of my experience as well, of like this surge of the heart. And that's, prayer has often been described as that. And so a surge of the heart within a particular context when thinking about particular things is a something to keep an eye on for the young discerner. Hey, I get a surge of the heart when I think about doing this or that within the priesthood or within ministry or in another way, preaching, celebrating a wedding, being at somebody's bedside as they're passing away, even with sad and hard stuff. That enthusiasm and like this energy that starts to flow. We've talked about consolation, and that can be a part that can be connected often with consolation in some of the same language Ignatius uses there, as a sign of the Spirit working and giving you maybe that kind of awakening that you need.
Yeah, I'd never thought about it maybe in that terms or talking about it as enthusiasm, but just the way you define that and just you saying like what gets you out of bed. And I would say even to go do a not seemingly attractive part of that vocation, I think that's going to be kind of tough. Because yeah, that was, I think, my experience like teaching Chosen to us or working prayer in action. I mean, you're not always just psyched to go again, yell at kids all day or work out in the sun or, yeah, like you mentioned, being at a hospital at somebody's bedside as they're passing away. That's a hard thing, but I remember getting excited. Like I wanted to be there. And I don't know if, you know, everybody could have said that or whatever, but just the fact that even those difficult parts of it, everyone's going to be excited if you're in your imagination, I'm going to go preach this perfect homily or mm-hmm. I'm going to go have this perfect day with my possible future spouse. Sure, everyone's like pumped about that. But if you're actually even excited and you're getting out of bed, you have the surge of the heart, even to go do those things that are tough, that's obviously a huge part of the discernment there.
Yeah, I think that's a piece of it because it's an enthusiasm, at least for me, that isn't necessarily related to whether I think I'm good at this or not. You know, it's easy to be like enthusiastic, like, yeah, I want to do this because I think I'm good at it. But there are definitely like moments where I want the opportunity to do this. And even though I don't have maybe a lot of confidence in my ability in this, but I want to be there for that. I had one of those moments in the confessional the other night where it was just, it seems weird to talk about enthusiasm maybe in the confessional, but there was just, we had some extra time and the conversation that was unfolding. Did I have the answers? No, but there was a great surging of the heart, as you would say, Drew, in recognizing the Lord has brought me to this place with this person and to be able to have this kind of conversation unfold. And so I can notice that myself, even in areas that I am maybe not as confident in or that it's not that I think I excel, but that, yeah, I still want to do that. I want to be a part of that. And there's that enthusiasm, that breath of the Spirit. I tell guys a lot to pray with some of the duties of a priest. If they're early on in their discernment, they're trying to figure out, I'm like, well, think about in your prayer what the priest does and then pay attention to what's going on interior. Is there like that surging of the heart? Is there that enthusiasm? Does this fill you with hope or excitement, or does it fill you with dread or boredom? Okay, if it's dread or boredom, that tells you something. Mm-hmm. But if it fills you with something different that brings a zest to your life, okay, that very well could be the Spirit moving within your heart. And so when you're at your next holy hour, sit down and think of some of the duties of the priest and pray with those and see what that does to your interior. It's a common piece of advice I throw out to guys that are beginning.
And the Lord wants to do that. The Lord wants to get the juices flowing and he wants to kind of light the fire. And it's not always going to be like that. But the Lord knows when I need a movement of the heart to, okay, maybe open up some other things, or like a blowing on a fire to get the kind of fire burning again. It needs a little oxygen. That happens in the spiritual life with some regularity, not always. If the enthusiasm is just coming in, I mean, that's going to exhaust the fire. But a breath that's going to allow it to expand a little bit and then to burn on its own after that, and then it may rise and fall a little bit, is absolutely a part of the way that the Lord works in the spiritual life in general and in vocations in particular.
Yeah, it's a great analogy, and one I don't think Drew has any practical experience. I don't know if he's ever started a fire in his life.
This is a real thing that happened the other day. I tried to start a fire, and I just used a lighter so much. Like, no human being has used a lighter more. Because I was trying to burn up just a bunch of extra stuff, and we had some extra time. And it was embarrassing. I mean, someone came over and was, like, watching me do this, and then seeing what had happened, and it was just an embarrassment. And then I was watching them do it. I was like, oh, wow.
That's how that...
They were like blowing up. And that's what they were doing. They were blowing. They were kind of like getting it to.
There's like, a homily in here somewhere.
No one's ever thought of this before. Yeah, I mean, that's what lighter fluid's for.
So post-apocalyptic world, you are not the guy I want to pick up in my car.
People be talking about like saving food and stuff like that. It's like, I have no, people do whatever they want to do. It's like, I'm dead so fast in a post-apocalyptic world. I have no valuable skills in a non-civilized world. And so... so who cares? It's not even worth me thinking about.
Duly noted. See, I've got all sorts of plan Bs for that
scenario.
Yeah,
you'd be great. I'm sure you'd be in great shape, but I'd be like Lord of the Flies.
It's the time.
Yeah, I'm done. I'd pull some puppet strings, try to be a politician. That'd be the extent of my skills. My skills.
First thing I'd do is breaking out that American flag romp him. I mean, everyone is just going to command respect as I go down the street with my machete in hand and... That's
America wouldn't exist anymore in a post-apocalyptic world.
I would refound it. Me and Pierre Giorgio Frassati. Because we love 4th of July.
When we were at Shocker basketball camp growing up, we'd go to these Wichita State, like Coach Turgeon and stuff would put on. And they'd make us chant all the time, say three times really loud. Nothing great was ever achieved without. It'd be a deep breath. And then everyone had to yell, enthusiasm. And we do that again and again. And I've always remembered that. I mean, that's pretty silly. It's 20 years ago. But I kind of live by that energy is a big part both of the way that the Lord works, but also the way I go about my life. Like I'm a firm believer in faking it till you make it with enthusiasm. And not in a fake way, although that's even in the phrase there, or not in a silly way, but if you bring enthusiasm to something that you're doing in the spiritual life, vocation work, discernment, things like that, okay, others respond to that enthusiasm, and eventually then that may be the reality. You may be able then to live in that reality, as strange as that sounds, but you've got to, sometimes enthusiasm, we can often think enthusiasm is just something that is given to me, it's a breath of God, and it is, and that's largely what it is. But I can bring my own enthusiasm often to the spiritual life through the will that the Lord has given me. And I do think that has a role then in allowing for enthusiasm to be full-time. If I'm just waiting for it to come, then I'm not passionate about this, so I'm not gonna move forward with it. That can be a little dangerous.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like, this is a little off topic, but sometimes it feels like enthusiasm can be associated with unprofessional.
Mm, sure.
And so I think even sometimes in our roles as priests, we maybe are not always the best example of giving voice or expression to enthusiasms we genuinely feel, because there's this idea still of, well, the kind of the somber, serious, straight-laced priest. And there's a time, there's a place for that. People give me a hard time. I tend to be an enthusiastic preacher. And it's because I'm excited, and I just kind of throw that door open. Like, I'm genuinely excited about what I'm preaching, and so I'm gonna yell, "Oh, Father, you're like a Protestant minister when you preach." And there's a part of me that's like, they mean that in a nice way, but I'm like, I really wish you didn't see it that way, because I'm just preaching about what I'm excited about, and I'm excited about this, and that's everyone. Now, that part of me, that's just kind of me, because I do like to yell. I have a voice that is loud, and it's one of the few gifts the Lord gave me. So I've got to use what he gave me. But I do sometimes feel like we feel a need to dampen down that enthusiasm. I don't know if that's always the right choice. Maybe it is. I don't know. I've never actually thought of that deeply on the professional side.
Yeah. It just made me think, especially with younger kids, high school, and maybe as they're figuring themselves out in college, like, it's much easier and safer to not be enthusiastic about anything too much. It's just like, I want to feel out. Well, if I'm too enthusiastic and other people don't like it, then I'm on the outside crowd. So like you're saying, that's a great thing to put enthusiasm into something and gather a crowd. And especially if that's around preaching the gospel or just living your faith in some way and being confident enough to step out and say, yeah, I am super excited about this. I don't care if you think that's cool or not. It means enough to me that, I'm pumped about, I'm going to go, I'm going to prayer, or I want to talk to you about the Bible or whatever it is. But so putting some enthusiasm in there can be a good way to bring out some things in discernment.
Have we talked about genius talks on here? I've ever talked about genius talks when I was at the St. Louis Cathedral.
With it.
When I was at the St. Louis Cathedral, the young adults there, once a month, someone would give a genius talk to everybody else. And it was something that they were absurdly passionate about. And often it was not religious at all. Like one day it was a guy showed a photo of three Native Americans and they knew who two of them were. And the third, they couldn't figure out who it was. And it was his journey through photo recognition software, reading diaries, mapping out things, who this third person was. And like what meeting. And I honestly was, it was electric, actually, even though it was the most silly thing. And he readily admitted that. But I liked that practice because it got people in the practice of being passionate and being energized. And that's okay. And that we all need to be energized at different things. Okay, then we need to apply that into the faith and the spiritual life. And we need people in this diocese, in the city, and in this priesthood who are passionate about different things, who are enthusiastic, because I'm not going to be enthusiastic about all of the things. Right. So I need guys who are enthusiastic about things that I'm never going to touch or think about.
The most fascinating conversations are with someone is talking about something they are really passionate and enthusiastic about it. And I think you would find, again, I'm just throwing this out there, but I would bet there's going to be a God connection, a spiritual person, someone who's praying, someone that's living their life, whatever their enthusiasm, whether it's, you know, image mapping or, you know, curling or whatever. But if they are a person that's rooted in their faith, if you find something else that they are enthusiastic, there's going to be bridges in between. There's going to be aspects of the divine beauty that is coming through in their enthusiasm. Again, and it goes back to that Greek etymology. Well, if this is the breath of the Spirit within me, these things aren't unconnected. And so the Lord is in a strange way feeding that enthusiasm. That's kind of far afield of the whole discernment question, but I'm just fascinated as I wrap my mind around this idea as we talk anyways.
Bringing it back then, I think, to discernment, this is all, I think, a big part of it, and this is good stuff to chat about. To be keeping an eye on, this is one of the most common things I say to young men. Where does my heart search? Where do I get excited? Where do I go to mass? What do I notice? Where does my heart move? What am I really passionate about? What one of our focus team director the other night at Bible study, we had a bunch of students at summer Bible study, and he made them for 7 minutes write on a note card what they want. And it was a really good practice because they had to name like what do I want? And so that gets back to what am I enthusiastic about too? Like that's because that's kind of in the space that I want to live in.
Yeah.
And so you have to be, and a lot of people were not able to really name what they wanted other than some generalities, get to heaven and things like that. I have a family and whatever the case might be. Okay. But can I, my desires, can I start naming those? My desires link up to what I'm enthusiastic about. And then I can get into some really sacred space of where the Lord wants to expand those, wants to challenge me in some other ways, but wants to lean into that enthusiastic desire that I have.
One of the simple prayer practices sometimes I offer to a guy when he's discerning is just being at mass. Imagine praying. Do you see yourself the rest of your life right there in the pews, or place yourself behind the altar and pray with that image? And again, does that spark something into you? Does that bring a surge of the heart and enthusiasm there? If not, like, oh no, that freaks me out. Okay. Okay, that's part of discernment. If you can see yourself praying on the other side of the altar the rest of your life, and yeah, this is feeding me, this is nourishing, this is where it feels right. But if you, at mass, pray with yourself, the image of yourself on the other side of the altar, what does that do to the heart? And pay attention to those sorts of enthusiasms if they're arising. And that can be a great discernment tool. Well, thanks for listening to About 4 O'Clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website, about4.org. The final word today goes to Father Garrett.
This is kind of a famous quote from a priest named La Cordaire. It just kind of describes what it is to be a priest. To live in the midst of the world without desiring its pleasures. To be a member of each family, yet belonging to none. To share all sufferings, to penetrate all secrets, to heal all wounds, to go from men to God and offer him their prayers, to return from God to men to bring pardon, peace, and hope, to have a heart of fire for charity and a heart of bronze for chastity, to teach and to pardon, to console and to bless always. My God, what a life, and it is yours, O priest of Jesus Christ.
See you next week.